My parents, God rest their souls, were not wealthy people by any stretch of the word. They remembered the Dust Bowl, doing without during the Depression, and war rationing. After they got married and started our family, my mom said she would recall months when she worried how they were going to pay the $50 mortgage on the house. For many of us today, $50 is dropped at one visit to the grocery store or Walmart or a restaurant. My father worked two, sometimes three jobs to put my four older siblings and I through Catholic grade and high school and to help us with college expenses. None of this made my parents miserly, stingy, frugal, or selfish, but it did mean that my brother, sisters, and I were raised to make do with what we were given and to be happy for it until we had paper routes and fast food and grocery store jobs to line our own pockets with spending money. To this day, I marvel at my folks' generosity and the sacrifices that they made to raise and support us, to help build their parish and its schools and more. And I'm sure many of you here this morning have similar stories and similar sentiments to share. When my father died, my oldest sister assumed the role of the executrix for our family's finances, my father's pension, and the retirement investments that they had been able to make. Somehow there was always enough to meet mom's needs and then some. And even when she moved into an apartment in an assisted living facility with all of the amenities, we never had to worry about whether or when or if the money was going to run out. I saw my older sister last week, and she told me that my siblings and I could expect another payment from the settlements of mom's estate. I was more than surprised because each of us had already received two pretty sizable checks from what we thought was left of mom's holdings. All of this is a long-winded prelude to what we know, and that is this. We don't measure love or success in terms of money. We all know from the news how miserable many movie stars, singers, and professional athletes are because they've let money undermine and corrupt their values. Though my siblings and I are beneficiaries of what my folks were able to accomplish from their very modest beginnings, we are heirs in a more powerful way of their work ethic, our Catholic faith, their belief in the family, the parish, and the community as strongholds against all of the bad stuff we see going on in the world around us. And all of that has its foundation, not in themselves, but in the God my parents loved and served and tried to teach us to love and serve as well. In our second reading this morning, St. Paul reminded us that through our baptism, we too have been made heirs. We too have been made beneficiaries of all the blessings that God the Father wants to bestow on each one of us, his children. With our Lord Jesus Christ, we are heirs to God the Father's love and his generosity. In one of his letters, St. John tells us simply, God is love. Not that God loves, which he does, but that God is love itself. And how does God show that love? The most supreme way that God shows his love to us is by sending his Son, Jesus Christ, to suffer and die for us in order to open for us the promise of life forever in heaven with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We don't deserve God's love. Sometimes through our sin, we defiantly reject him and his love. But because God is love, he can't stop loving us. And he waits for us to return to him, just like the father waited for his wayward child in the parable of the prodigal son to return home. God waits for us to return to him through the sacrament of reconciliation. Jesus feeds us with his body and blood at every Mass, and he makes himself available to us in his real presence in the Eucharist, in the tabernacle, and in the Adoration Chapel, whenever we need to speak to him or spend time with him. That's the kind of nonstop love our Lord has for us. Theologians have tried to decipher the mystery of the Holy Trinity, the feast we keep today, and they have come up with this formula. The Father, from all eternity, loves Jesus. And Jesus, his Son, loves the Father in return. The love between them manifests itself in the Holy Spirit. So powerful is this love between the Father and the Son that it bursts forth in the gifts and fruits of the Holy Spirit. We may not understand this on a spiritual level, but on the natural level, it makes sense. And we only have to look at our families to understand this. The husband and the wife love each other, and the fruit of their love is the children that their marriage union brings forth. It is that same love because of our baptism that we are called to share with others. And that is what Jesus commands us to do in our gospel. And we must do as well if we call ourselves Christian. What we have been given, the fruits of the love of the Father and the Son, we must share with others. We have been created in a community of love, just as the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are a community of love. From the day of our baptism, we have belonged to the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Just as I was privileged, and so as many of you, I'm sure, were privileged, to grow up in my natural family, we must consider it a privilege to be members, first and foremost, of God's family. And so we turn to the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in prayer every day. We belong to the family of the triune God. The love, unity, and joy in the relationship among the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit should be the model of our relationships within our Christian families. Our families become truly Christian when we live in a relationship of love with God and then share the fruits of that relationship with all we know and meet. May God bless you and yours this Memorial Day weekend, and when we remember in a special way all of our beloved deceased, especially those who served us in the military, and especially our parents and family members.